Chapter 3. In the beginning of this this month, God put it on my heart to preach a message. A message. It was the real Christmas story. And I thought, I told Scott and some others on Wednesday night, I thought Wednesdays and Sunday mornings we're just going to be preaching the same message and we're just going to build off of it. That's all I knew was the real Christmas story. He gave me one part of it. I could tell you where it started. It started with me looking in the book of Luke, thinking, all right, we're going to do a traditional Christmas deal. Look in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, find the Christmas story and preach about it. And my first place was I went to where Mary was accepting the calling of Christ. And, he was getting Mary ready to birth Jesus. And I was all excited about that. And then I looked back and I seen that, you know, before that, he got Elizabeth and Zacharias ready. I'm like, well, wait a minute. How can you get the forerunner's parents ready when you haven't got the parents of Jesus ready? I'm thinking, man, you're kind of getting ahead of yourself, aren't you, God? And then we started going all the way back into Isaiah. And we could have went a bunch of different places. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. We went all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where we're going to be today, and we found out that God has been planning your Christmas present ever since the beginning of man. He's been getting ready. I think that first message in that series was, what do we need for Christmas? Because, you know, I mean, this time, every time, about this time of the year, we start, I don't know what it does in your family, but in my family, it starts right around Thanksgiving, right? Somebody will say, hey, Kevin, what do you want for Christmas, right? Hey, Peyton, what do you want for Christmas? Hey, Courtney, what can we get you for Christmas? What do you want, right? And that's where it starts. And we used all kinds of verses, and I'm going to use one right quick to kind of tie that before we go into the next part of the message. Romans 6:23 was this. And y'all have heard this verse so many times. For the wages of sin is death. If you're not saved this morning, what you're earning right now is death. What your payday is going to be is death. Like if you go through this life and never accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you take your last breath, whether it be today or 100 years from now, the payday you'll earn is separation from God in eternity in a place called hell. That's the wages we all earn. Hey, we ain't done this in a while, and I know y'all probably don't know me. I'm not the kind of preacher you're probably used to. I'll do whatever I feel like the Lord wants me to do. So we're going to try this real quick. Would everybody stand up? Everybody in here, please stand up. I'm going to kind of show you what kind of people you're hanging out with this morning, all right? I know you don't, most of us won't stand up, sit down. We'll do it just one time. I think I can get everybody with this one right here. If you've ever told a lie, one lie in your whole life, would you please sit down? All right, I want you to notice this. I want you to look around right now. Look around the whole room. Ain't nobody. All right, listen. I'd be sitting. I've told more lies than all of you. I'd be sitting down right now. I should go sit down just to make it right. But I want you to know this, everybody in this room, if we tried to get in our own righteousness, right, that one commandment right there would have kept everybody out of heaven and in hell. Right. All right? Amen. So you're sitting in a room full of liars, and the only difference in us and you is we accepted Jesus Christ. Or we didn't. All right? And you say, well, that one lie'd keep you out of heaven? Yes. But I hate to tell you, I could have done that with about 9 other commandments, and we'd probably all have to sit down on every one of them. So I want you to understand where you're at today. You're not in a room full of you're not in a room full of righteous people. You're in a room full of saved people who were made righteous by what Jesus done. Amen? That's all we would do. We won't be able to tell you how good we are. We'd be tell you how good Jesus has been to us. That's what I come to tell you this morning. But I got in that Romans 6:23, and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a good news past that wages of sin, we got a gift. Jesus knew, God knew what you needed more than you needed, more than what you wanted. I wrote this out yesterday. I might have even made a post on social media. I think I said it like this. Thank God that Jesus doesn't give me everything I want. that makes him sweeter than anything. Man, I'm telling you right now, there's times when I said, God, I want this, or I want that, or I need this, and he doesn't give it, and 5 years later, or 2 years later, or maybe a week later, I think, thank God you didn't give me that. So when I got to starting on this message, I thought, man, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to preach the same message probably 6 times in a row this month. That's how I just, all right, God, if that's what you want, if you want me to drive it home that well, we'll do it. Well, then God's better than that. Is there anybody in here called by God to do anything special? Not one part. Is there anybody in here called by God? Don't be ashamed of it. You feel like you've been called by God? All right, there's about 3 up, 4. Five, one, I don't know, it was an ear scratch. That wasn't. Stand up. Step out. Come on. Hey, you going to call him? You going to do it? Did you think you could stand up here this morning doing this? I did that for a purpose, for a reason. See, when I got to serving God, he didn't tell me everything was going to happen after he called me. He just called me. And all I did was raise my hand and said, I'll go. And then he took care of the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. Okay? Some of you are struggling to come to Jesus, and some of y'all are struggling to do the thing that God's called you to do because you know you're supposed to. You just won't take the next step and say, I will. Amen? When I started this message, I said, all right, God, you're gonna get this message. You're going to get it over and over and over. But as soon as I started out on Wednesday, God started another message for today, and it's a part of the Christmas series, and it says, do you have your tree up yet? Do you have your trees up yet? And I had this really cool, funny thing happen to me yesterday. I was over here, and we were raising the money, doing the thing yesterday. And when we got over here in the new sanctuary, where's Kiri at? There she is. I'm gonna embarrass everybody here today. But I was in the new sanctuary, and Charlie and Kiri and somebody else was having a conversation, and I walked up in the middle of that conversation, and I was being kind of funny and snarky, you know what I mean? I can be a little sarcastic. And I was standing there, and Kiri was talking, and I said, Kiri, I'm being honest right now. I cannot listen to you talk with reindeer eyes and antlers sticking out of your head. She had a full-blown reindeer hat on. Right? Big eyes, reindeer antlers. About, you know, if she walked through Bledsoe County today, she would get shot. All right. And I was like, I can't take you serious over here talking. And you know what? All of a sudden, I sat down and I was just doing something else. And all of a sudden, God, through her, started preparing the message for today. Kind of putting the icing on the cake of it. You know why? Because she started talking about Christmas trees. And she started saying, some people want these trees and some people want these trees. And she said, and Johnny, he wants this huge tree in his house. And Caitlin really don't like the idea of having that gigantic tree in her house. But he's going to have a real brand new tree and a real tree in his house this year. Is that what the conversation? I'm embarrassing everybody. Conversation about 10-foot trees and 9-foot trees and 11-foot trees and how much space they would take up, and God the whole time was working on me, and I was funny. It was funny because God says, I can take somebody with a reindeer hat and antlers, and I can do anything I want to. I'll speak through anybody. Amen. So don't you be so smart alecky. Amen. And then he kind of reminded me, he said, I've used donkeys in the Bible to speak. And I've used you too. And too many of y'all laughed too hard on that last part. I'm going to take some notes. But I got to thinking about three, and I'm going to give y'all, hopefully I'm going to try to get this crammed in a reasonable time, but I'm going to talk about three trees. I could have talked about 50 trees. So three is going to be pretty good. I could have talked about almug trees. When the queen came to see Solomon, he gave her all this jewelry, all this gold, all this silver, all this wisdom. And then all of a sudden, he kind of takes a right-hand turn, and he starts talking about almug trees. Amen. Queen Candace was one of the most powerful people in the world. But she said, I want to come to see the wisest man in the world. And the only reason he was the wisest man in the world is God gave him wisdom. Amen. God gave him wisdom. And right in the middle of all this stuff, he was giving them treasures and all this stuff. All of a sudden, Solomon says, I'm going to give you some almug trees. And all of a sudden, the woman said, these trees are so amazing and so special. And all there was is when God's talking about, listen, what he was trying to do in his word is he was trying to say in his word that the gold and the silver and the bronze and all the stuff is beautiful. The metals are precious. But the most one of the most precious things to God in the whole Bible is a tree. Amen. Now, see, I could have preached about the almug trees, but I'm not going to preach about them today. I could preach about sycamore trees. Amen. I could preach about, a little Zacchaeus who seen a sycamore tree and he climbed up it really fast because he wanted to see Jesus for who he was. I could tell you today that if you get in the right tree, amen, if you look for the right tree around Christmas time, it'll help you see Jesus and it'll help Jesus see you. Amen. But I'm not going to preach about sycamore trees today. I could have preached about juniper trees where people hide from the sun and the beat down of life and hide from them and think about godly things. And God sees them and says, I've seen you sitting under that juniper tree and I know the thoughts you are having towards me. And the man said, oh my God, you are Jesus. He said, if you think that's something, I'm just telling you what you were thinking about me when you were sitting under the juniper tree. I can show you angels ascending and descending, but I ain't going to show you that. But I'm going to show you some amazing things on this walk. I'm not going to preach about juniper trees. I could talk about water purifying trees. While the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness and the waters were bitter and they couldn't drink them, but then all of a sudden somebody cut a limb off a tree and laid it in the water and the water became sweet. Has the water ever became sweet to you? Amen? I could preach about that, but I'm not going to this morning. Some of y'all are figuring out I'm preaching about all of these. And I could preach about an axe head floating because of a tree was cut, and somebody lost their axe head and went in the water. Somebody cut off a branch and stuck it in the water. And guess what? The old axe head started raising up. A metal axe head raised up out of the water. I could preach like this. Some of y'all need to get your edge back for Jesus. And the only way you're going to get your edge back for Jesus is if you'll come back to the tree, amen, and ask Jesus to raise your old dead work back, sharpen you up, and get you back to serving God again. But I'm not going to preach about that either. I'm going to preach about these three trees that God put on our heart. If you'll go to Genesis chapter 3 with me, there's this tree. Now, let's just go to 2:17, and I'll try to cut down the message some because I've been preaching a while. And I know y'all have places you want to go and things you want to do. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'll slow that down again and read it again. It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat of it, therefore thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. You think God meant that? Okay, now let's look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden. In verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof,
then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Do you know this, that God told Adam, he said, don't eat of the tree. The time that you did, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Amen? That's what he said. He said, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And then he created his wife. And then guess where they're at? They're standing right at the tree. God told them not. In this chapter, they call him the serpent. In Revelation, they call him the dragon. Done a lot of growing. Amen? Done a lot of growing over the years. But I noticed some things that are going on. Some of y'all want me to write this down. I want to kind of impart some wisdom to you if I can. God doesn't give you one commandment or tell you not one thing to do that's going to hurt him if you do it. It only hurts you. Let me slow that down again. God didn't tell them to not eat the tree because he was holding something back from them. He was saying, don't eat of that tree because it's going to hurt you. Sometimes when we look at the commandments, I used one of them today, thou shalt not lie. You know what happens if you tell a bunch of lies? Eventually you're branded a lie. That's hard to overcome. It's hard to overcome. Because even as years pass on and your life passes on, and share enough lies, eventually when somebody hears you talk, they don't know whether you're telling the truth or if you're telling a lie. Then you get frustrated and aggravated and mad because guess what? You're sitting there going, but I'm telling the truth now. Yeah, I know, but you've heard me so many times. Why? Are you hearing? So God did not tell you not to lie because it was going to hurt him as much as it was going to hurt you. You're just taking every one of the commandments after that. And you compare them to your life, and eventually, if you live by those commandments or even try to, you would have a pretty good life. But I noticed something. As long as they stood there, and the longer they talked back and forth, the more they started breaking down what God was saying and who was saying it, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, she's taking that fruit and she's eating it. And this is the part that really got me. And I was thinking today, I was thinking before I came, I said, man, I hope a lot of guys don't show up at church today. That's what I was hoping. Because God gave the order to the man of the home. And I don't know why, but we've done this over time. We kind of handed all our responsibility off to everybody. But guess what? God told the man to tell the wife what to do about the responsibility of not eating that tree. And guess what? She had it right. And the whole time my mind's being blown. But who's talking to the serpent? She is. And all of a sudden she takes the fruit and eats it and turns and hands it to him. Because men, we are dead silent. We are dead silent while our families are going to hell in a handbasket. We are watching our whole world fall apart, and we're wanting somebody else to do what God has commissioned us to do.
Amen. Amen.
We are supposed, what should have happened is Adam should have slid over in front of his wife and said, and God said,
amen.
And we're done here. And God said, and we're done here. You know what he did? He took it too and said, okay, our world is falling apart, our families are falling apart, and our church is falling apart because fathers are going to stand by and watch everybody make a decision. You know what we're going to do at the end of it? We're going to take it too. We're going to take it too. We're going to say, yeah, we'll take it too. man would choose God or choose what he wanted to do. And guess what? We chose. And I hate to tell you this, you can go in the scriptures after this, and guess what follows up? The genealogy of Adam and everybody after him. You know what it says on every turn? And he died. And he died. I always preach this here when I'm doing it, but I thought about the. Do you know when they took that apple, whatever they ate, that piece of fruit, when they ate of it, you know what they were thinking? They were probably thinking like we think, I'll take the repercussions. Right? So something crazy happened right there at that church, right there at that tree. There's a tree. What tree do you got up in your life? About this time every year, I think ours starts Thanksgiving Day. Some of your radical Christmas goers, you put your tree up the day after Halloween. We're piecemealing ours this year. Hey man, we got the tree up. We've got a few ornaments hanging on it. And somebody's begging, will anybody else please put something else on this tree? I don't know. That's just our house. Amen? Put something else on the tree. Well, when God put this somewhere, he says, what tree do you have up in your life? Amen? What tree do you have up in your life? Are you still living under the curse of the tree in the garden? And you've broken all of God's commandments and done everything he's told you not to do, and that's where you're living today. But I want y'all to notice something. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. That's one tree. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. I've seen this thing, and it kind of blew me away. Amen? Kind of blew me away. So Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. And right there in verse 24, look what he said. So he drove them out, the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubs and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Do y'all see that? Do you know if they had took of that tree of life, that they would have lived? They would have eternal life. Take your Bibles, go all the way to Revelation. Go all the way to the last chapter of the Bible. Go into Revelation chapter 2. And I'm about to preach you another little bitty message right here. Are y'all all right? Everybody all right? Take a deep breath. Y'all all right? I'm all right. I hope you're all right. I just want to watch this right here. Y'all I hear pages turn. I'm going to let y'all get all the way over. Revelation chapter 2. Now I'm going to preach a little bit right here, and then I'm going to give you another tree, okay? That same tree we just read about. It's the second tree. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Y'all see that? All right, Jesus is going to talk a lot different right here about the church than the way we talk about it today. Amen? Okay, wait. I want to give it to you. Jesus is talking about the churches right here, the seven churches. This is us, amen? There's different church ages, but guess what? This is us, okay? I want you to understand that. This is us. Listen how Jesus talks about the church compared to how we talk about it. Y'all good? Watch this right here. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's cool. That's Jesus. Amen? When John the Revelator looked in Revelation, he says, the one in the midst of the seven candlesticks, the seven churches, that's Jesus. The one that had the seven stars in his hand, that's Jesus. Amen? Those seven stars are the seven angels of the church. Ain't that cool? Yes, that's cool, preacher. It's good. Y'all wake up. We're going to have a good time. Watch this right here. He said, now listen, this is what Jesus says about us in the end. Whew, glory to God. I love this stuff. I know your works. Do you have any? I know thy works.
Listen, in the midst of your full-time job, God wants you to represent him.
Amen.
church, but I'm going to live for Jesus over here. No. Hey, tell you this. You, wherever God planted you, that's where he wanted to put an agent for him in that place. That's good preaching. And I know thy labor and thy patience. You have any patience for people? You have any patience for others? You have any patience for the people in your church? And thou canst bear them which are evil.
Preacher, but guess what? I hate to tell you this. God doesn't need your platform. You need his platform. God will wreck your platform. You want to take one of the greatest men that's ever preached the gospel was a man named Billy Sunday, who was a professional baseball player. And you know what? God called him to preach. And you know what he went in? He went into the MLB, the Major League Baseball, and told them, I quit. I've got somebody to. I'm going to reach millions of people for Jesus Christ. And he did. Amen. And he did. And has borne his impatience for my name's sake, and labored and has not fainted. Are you laboring for the name of Christ? I hope at the end of our life that nobody remembers my name. I'm being honest. I hope somebody, Kevin is. I'll really be honest with you. If they can't remember my name, but they can remember Jesus' name, we've made a success. If we've got to the end of our life and they'll go, man, I don't know who that guy was, but he loved Jesus. I don't know who that gal was, but man, she loved Jesus. And it made me thirsty for Christ. Amen. Watch this right here. This is so good. I hope y'all get this. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Would you perk your ears up real quick if you heard Jesus say, hey, I got something against you? Now listen, let me lay out who Jesus really is to you. Jesus is the last person you are going to see whether you enter into heaven or you enter into hell. You hear what I'm saying? That's the last person you're going to see. You're going to sit at the judgment seat of Christ. Every person in here will be judged by God, by Jesus. He's the one that controls where you're going to be. If he said, hey, I got something what against you. I got some things against you. Would you open your ears? Well, I feel like this is what God's saying to me this morning too. Amen? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. Did y'all get that right there? Go back. What's your first works? Well, I'll try to think. Wait. What was my first works? My first work was turning, repenting, and coming to Jesus and saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Renew in me my spirit. Some of y'all want a big turn for God. Some of y'all want to find out what it feels like to be in that same spirit you were when you got saved so many years ago. You know what you got to do? Come back to your first love. I'll just give you a little wedding advice. I'll give you a little marriage. Anybody want marriage advice? Anybody want 15-cent marriage advice? If your marriage is on the rocks and it's messed up, I'll give you a little doggone advice. Won't cost you nothing. Here's what you do. Hey, baby, you look pretty good. Start right there. Man, them jeans look good on you. All right, other side, women. I appreciate you going to work for us. Thank you. He said, well, how in the world's that going to fix anything? Well, then the words you've been tearing each other down with ain't fixing nothing, is it? Why don't you just practice up and just start saying some nice things and doing some nice things, and the next thing you know, you go back to square one. But when you first started dating, you couldn't take your eyes off and couldn't take your hands. Oh, I'll stay away from you. Some of y'all are good. And he hath put, what's his? But this thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Watch this. He that hath an ear to let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh. That's us. We're going to get every one of these rewards. I want you to hear this. This is that second tree. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of garden. The paradise of God. Oh, wait a minute. Well, let me read that real slow because I want y'all to get that. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Remember the thief on the cross? He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Kind of puts a new scope on it right there, don't it? The paradise of God houses the tree of life. Here's that other tree.
Amen.
See, there's a tree there that if we eat of it, we'll have eternal life. One day, because you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be able to take of that reward, and guess what? You'll have eternal life because of that tree. In the garden of Eden, guess what? It's guarded that nobody can touch it. But guess what? We needed one more tree. Now, this is the most important tree, and I kind of wondered where I'd go with it since, for time's sake. Let's go to John chapter 19, and I'll end right here. At the most important tree. And I'll tell you why it's the most important tree. John chapter 19 and verse 16. And this is talking about Jesus. John chapter 19, verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto to be crucified. Then delivered he him therefore unto be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, and either side one and Jesus in the midst. Jesus said in John chapter 12, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. What happened here was Jesus was placed on another kind of tree, on the cross. And that's the tree that we all must put up in our life. We got to make sure that gets put up. The other two trees are important, but this tree is the most important because it's the tree where all the ground is level at this tree. No matter what sin you've ever committed, no matter what you've ever done, you can come to the cross, the most important tree during the Christmas season.
You can come to that cross and you can bow down before it. Put your trust and faith in what Jesus Christ did. And He can forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. But let me tell you why it's the most important tree. Because that tree makes the first tree obsolete. It takes what happened at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and cancels what was done there. Through one man's disobedience, sin entered the world and condemned us. But through one man's obedience, righteousness and salvation will bring to those who believe. So you needed that tree to cancel out the first tree. See, when He cancels the first tree, He gives you a way to access the second tree. When you come to the most important tree in your life, which is the cross, you come to it. I don't care. I don't know how you ended up here today. I don't know why you ended up here today. But I've got a feeling. We've got a lot of people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, that you've been to the first tree, and you're living in your sin. You want to get to the second tree. You want to have eternal life. If something was to happen to you, you would want people to say, he or she is in heaven. But you've never been to that middle tree. Sincerely been to the tree. Saved as you be, but you've been backslidden on God, not serving the way you're supposed to, not involved the way you're supposed to. You know what? You get another opportunity to come back to that most important tree again. Sometimes we gotta put that tree back up in our lives. Amen. As we stand, as Scott comes to the song, if God spoke into your heart this morning, let's all stand. As Scott comes gets the song, if you're sitting here this morning and you're sitting here going, man, I don't even know how I ended up here. Some friend invited me. But I want to tell you this morning, you've been told about Jesus. You've been told what you need in your life. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'll be right here. And if you don't, you just want to talk to me. You can come to one of these altars on either side of the pulpit right here and just talk to Jesus. But as he sings, God's been dealing with your heart. If you need to put that tree up in your life this morning, this Christmas, please do. Don't let anything hold.